This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by the Honorable Sharice Davids, who represents the 3rd Congressional District of Kansas. Caught you a little off guard when I said honorable, didn't I? Beth?
I mean, it's not bad.
I believe that is how you're supposed to refer to anybody who's elected, and just the fact of getting elected is such a difficult thing when you think there are 435, 436, 430, wherever we are today, members of Congress. That's an amazing feat. Is it something that you really thought as a child in elementary, I'm going to serve in Congress?
No, not at all, actually. In fact, you know, with it having been July 4th, not that long ago, my mom and I, so my mom served in the Army for 20 years, and I think, you know, there's something about July 4th that has you thinking about big picture stuff, and I was definitely asking my mom, like, can you believe I'm in Congress? And, you know, she's my mom, so she was like, of course I can. I grew up, I have a non-traditional path to Congress for sure. I grew up, as an Army brat. My mom was in the Army for 20 years from before I was born until after I got out of high school. And she, raised me and my two brothers by herself. And so, getting into Congress, getting into law school, like getting I have an associate's degree and then a bachelor's degree. I'm a first generation college student. And so, so many of the things that I've had the chance to experience are not necessarily things that I, as a child, had, you know, as a vision for myself. But I also, now that I've been here for a few years, feels longer than that, but it's been a few years, I think that there should be more people who have these kind of non-traditional paths, because they're not uncommon. You know, it's not uncommon to be raised by a single parent or to be a first-generation college student. It took me 4 years to get my associate's degree and then 4 more years to get my bachelor's degree. And some of that is because I was working lots of jobs, random jobs. And I think that all of those things have really paid off and, in one way or another, you know, the skills I learned at Sonic being a car hop and an assistant manager have paid dividends here in the house. So, I think that my non-traditional path has actually been, a big part of my success.
So based on that, there's no surprise you're a member of the House Ag Committee. For one, Kansas is a huge state when it comes to ag.
Yeah, absolutely.
Though your district not necessarily, well, it's not the biggest in Kansas as far as ag. But really, does that provide you a great opportunity to come in with really no preconceived notions?
Yeah, and I like the way you asked that because I often, when people ask me about, one, getting elected, two, I think a lot of people have preconceived notions about the state of Kansas, and I always say, like, the best way to go into a conversation is with an open mind, with a goal to listen, and I think I've, like, picked that up from a bunch of different things, and, yeah, so getting onto the Ag Committee is in a lot of ways an outgrowth of that because our, you know, redistricting happened all across the country, and the Kansas 3rd, while we had, you know, especially around like crop insurance and financial services for ag, wasn't as producer, you know, there weren't as many farmers, ranchers, and producers in the 3rd District. But now there are going to be more. And as soon as a spot opened up on the Agriculture Committee, I was like, you have to kind of have like a mini campaign to get onto committees, especially in the middle of a congressional session. And as soon as the spot opened up, our team like kicked it into high gear. And, you know, I was calling my colleagues and I was like, hey, I want to get on the Ag Committee. Will you help me? And so we were able to get on there. And I think You know, we're probably going to end up talking about it, but I think getting the chance to get on the Ag Committee now while we're doing these hearings that are aimed at kind of a look back of the previous farm bill and getting up to speed on the various provisions, how people have been impacted, you know, how various types of producers have been impacted. I think that's, like, I couldn't have asked for a better opportunity than to get on to the Ag Committee, like when I did, because this will be my first farm bill, so I'm going to definitely need to be getting up to speed on all the provisions and the ways that it impacts the folks in Kansas.
I'm hoping to come back and get your ideas after you write that 2023 farm bill, because at that point you'll have a piece of work. Is it right now just a situation where you're trying to find out, because the farm bill is more than just farming. There's so many tentacles on this. Are you trying to learn what each tentacle does?
Yeah, and so there's a couple of things. So I was probably more familiar with some of the nutrition programs, the food assistance programs, and that sort of thing. Some from my own personal experience, and some from the work, you know, that I've been able to do in Congress so far. But definitely, I mean, the first hearing we had was around the dairy provisions. You know, there's multiple dairy provisions, and then there are multiple programs that came out of the CARES Act or other COVID relief measures that we took over the last few years. And I mean, just those programs alone are one, necessary, but two, it requires a certain level of understanding and expertise. And I've already been connecting with some folks at home in the, I have Miami County, Anderson County, and Franklin County are in the Kansas Third now. And, there were at least two folks that I got the chance to connect with, recently who, you know, they were like, well, I know I'm doing this now, but I grew up, you know, doing dairy farming, and I definitely will be a resource if you have questions. And then our second hearing was about new and emerging, farmers, trying to get younger people, in. And I think that there have been certainly some concerns I've heard from folks about whether or not, you know, someone who's a fourth or fifth generation farmer, whether or not they're going to, for so many different reasons, going to be able to have that next generation take that on. So there are so many different areas that I'm definitely learning about. And it's like, I don't know. I like learning stuff. And so I'm definitely nerding out and enjoying it.
So does that also provide a great connection, if you will, with some of your other committee assignments? Because in that second hearing you talked about, the new beginning young farmers, there were a couple of things that came out of that. One I picked up on was the small business aspect. Mm-hmm. And the other one was dealing with the infrastructure. So you're on committees that handle that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm on, on transportation and infrastructure, I've been able to, I feel like I've been able to participate in a ton of really, great initiatives and bills. I got to be there right at the beginning of the negotiations for the bipartisan infrastructure bill. I was part of a bipartisan group that went to the White House, and talked to the president and Secretary Buttigieg about the various needs of our different communities. And, you know, when I think about the way that, like, the state of Kansas has, we have so many farmers and ranchers, and they're literally sending their crops or sometimes around the world, but certainly across the country. And I think that being able to, you know, get that stuff to an intermodal facility that can get it on rail and get it across the country in a really efficient and cost-effective way that's going to be super important. And I had kind of already been thinking about that sort of thing before I got onto the Ag Committee, but now it's almost giving me that next level of understanding about why it's so important for us to be making these infrastructure investments. And then it's not just getting things around. It's also, you know, the number of folks who are using precision farming now, just making sure that folks have connectivity. I mean, water is such a huge issue for so many parts of the country, but definitely, you know, in western Kansas, where folks are using the Oglala Aquifer, there's concerns there. And in different parts of the eastern part of the state, we've got flooding issues that we often have to try to figure out. And so there are all these different pieces that are interconnected. And then when you bring in the small business aspect, you know, this is like there's been some really amazing stuff happening in our entrepreneurial. I often say Kansas City, that region. We have a really strong entrepreneurial ecosystem, and that certainly you can see that even when you're talking about the ways that, especially the younger farmers that I had a chance to meet with, or people who are small farmers, and the ways that they're working with, like Main Street, you know, Main Street businesses, whether we're talking about Ottawa or Garnett, Kansas, like there are so many different ways that people have been figuring out how to make that ecosystem more robust. And now I get to be on all these different, like literally, like to me, some of the three committees that probably have some of the biggest impact on those things.
So good to see you. So good to meet you.
Yeah,
and to
good
hear
to meet
about
you too.
Your passion and how you're tying all of your work together. Will you let us come back and visit with you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Again, it's the Honorable Charisse Davids, represents the 3rd Congressional District of Kansas, member of the House Ag Committee on today's Agribusiness Report.